What was it, 4 weeks ago, three, 4 weeks ago, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and Pastor Greg and Pastor Enrique to teach on the motto of this church. Sure wasn't in my thinking. I was home minding my own business. And I'm sitting there relaxing, and that's what I heard in my heart. Start teaching on that. And I went, huh, okay. And, you know, the more I thought about it, I began to see some light and so forth. And Pastor Enrique started teaching on that at RLCC Espanol, right in next door. And Pastor Greg started teaching on it. And so the Lord kind of led me in the vein, because it's maybe just the way I grew up, is he said, you're going fishing. And then he led me to Matthew chapter 4, where he said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's in the King James. But I like the New Living Translation. It says, come follow me, and I will teach you how to fish for people. And boy, I'll tell you, that just exploded in me. And then this week, hearing Brother Joe Morris talking about the end times, man, I was on the edge of my seat. I'm thinking, man, this is what the Holy Ghost is saying. He's saying, we're about ready to wrap it up. He said, you need to get out and reach people. And I said, this is on the heart of God. There are people that don't even know what's about to happen. They're just struggling through life, and we've got the answer. We've got Jesus. And so what the Holy Ghost was saying, he said, look, teach on the motto, where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. So I've just shared on these other three prior, on the love of God, the word of God. In other words, we're going fishing with the love of God. That's the bait. So when you go fishing, you need bait. And so we're going fishing with the love of God. We're going fishing with the word of God. We're going fishing with the spirit of God. And boy, today we're landing. I thought, how accurate. Here we are talking about the power of God. We're going fishing with the power of God on Pentecost Sunday.
Yeah.
Whew. How is that? God is awesome. So to me, and this is really a setup, because prior to all of this, the Holy Spirit had been pulling my heart to say, and he spoke to me and said, you need to make that motto personal. Because it's wonderful that when we get together corporately and say, oh yes, you know, and again, just for those that might not know, that motto was given to Pastor Sarah coming back from Rhema Bible Training Center in 1980. So as they were driving through the Delaware Water Gap on Route 80, she said the Holy Ghost gave her that motto. And so for years, we professed that every Sunday. We're a place where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. But the Holy Spirit said, that's great, but he said, people can come in corporately and make that confession and have no desire to do it. And so he said, you need to make that personal. I am a place, me, I'm a place where the love of God is evident. I'm a place where the word of God dwells richly. I'm a place where the spirit of God is directing. And I'm a place where the power of God is manifested. And when everybody begins to make that a personal profession, to do it, when we get together, oh, I always like to say, boom, heaven on earth. So God is wanting us to make that profession and determine that I'm going to walk in love. Because here's what it's about. And recently, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this. He said, just sitting home quiet, he said to me, the people coming into the church today are unchurched. And the people coming are either unchurched or they're coming out of settings, in denominational settings, and there's nothing wrong with that, but they're used to very short messages and short services. And he said to me, you need to trim, you need to shorten, meaning people can go sit in a movie theater for 3 hours and not even think about it. They can go to a baseball game or a basketball game and shout and not even think about it. But when you come into a setting where you're talking about spiritual things, it's like, are we done yet? They're not used to that type of setting. So it's like, are we done? Because most churches, it's a snack. You're in, you're out. Am I speaking the truth?
Yes.
So the Holy Ghost, sometimes people think, well, why are you doing that? I used to do that with Pastor Clinton and Sarah. I wonder why they're doing that. Because you're not a pastor. You don't have a pastor's anointing, and God is going to speak to you because he knows people. I don't know people. I don't know what's going on. Sometimes I don't know what's going on in me. Right? I need help.
Yes.
Right? You're like, help me, Lord.
Yes.
Right? So the Holy Ghost knows people. He knows what people will receive and just how far they'll go. So you can go up and have a 2-hour service and it'll be because people may not receive. He knows what people will receive and how far you can take them. Even Brother Hagin said that. He said, you know what? He said, I can only teach so far because you're not ready to receive it. He said that his whole ministry. People kept saying to him, is that all you teach? Just teaching on faith, teaching faith all the time? He said, yeah, when you start doing that, I'll teach a little more. So why am I sharing all that? We're going fishing for people. And God is going to show us corporately as a group, and he's going to show us individually how to reach and minister to people. He's going to show us how. And that's what he says in his word. Come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people, how to reach them. Because it's on his heart. He died for everybody. And people in life, they don't know. Think about it. When Jesus was on this earth, and his disciples said, show us the Father. And he said, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, you know what? For some people, it'd be a hard saying if they said, show me God. And you go, well, if you've seen me, you've seen God. And you go, I don't think so. So, because why? He lives in us. And he wants to demonstrate himself, his nature, his ways, his love, his goodness, his kindness, his power, through who? You. As they say, say moi. Me. Moi. He wants to reflect himself through you to the world. That's why he's endeavoring for us to grow in the love of God, grow in the Word of God, grow in being directed by the Holy Ghost, and grow in the power of God. And you go, well, me? Yes, you. Yes, you. Absolutely. Because Matthew 28, Mark 16, what is that? The Great Commission. He's saying, you go into all the world. You lay hands on the sick. You cast out demons. Because I've given you that anointing. You're anointed. And most people say, me? I'm anointed? Yes, you're anointed. You're called. You're an ambassador. You're a representative for the head of the church. And so wherever we go, he goes. And so that's why a lot of times if you got up and said, well, if you want to see God, just see me. That's why we need to grow. That's why when it says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that you can prove what is that good and perfect will of God. Acceptable and perfect will of God. So the more we do, we look like him. We act like him. We talk like him. Right? And I'm telling you, we're right on the brink of the most. I mean, yes, God is manifesting himself. We're seeing that. We're seeing his spirit being poured out on all flesh. We're seeing, you know, sprinklings of awakenings and revivals. But I can tell you, when you go into your workplace, you're the one that's bringing the church to them. You're the one that's bringing the church. When you go into the grocery store, when you interact with people, you're the one bringing the church. And that's where we need to live. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. So, you know, everything, Hebrews 11:6, I'm going to try to get in to share something here today because it's just bubbling up here. But Hebrews 11:6, it always talks about what pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So everything we do, we're going to have to do by faith. Walking in love, you're going to have to walk, you're going to have to do it by faith. Reading the word, you're going to have to do it by faith. Being led by the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to do it by faith. Operating in the power of God, you're going to have to do it by faith. And that pleases God. Hallelujah. And the other thing, I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation, Matthew 6:33. It says, so above all, constantly, oh boy, I love the way the Passion puts this. Matthew 6:33, you know, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. But listen to this in the Passion Translation. It says, so above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him, then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Huh. So he's saying, chase after his things. Seek those things which are above. So Jesus is desiring that his body bring the church to the people. That's what he's desiring. Hallelujah. Luke 14:23, it says, so his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. Amen. So let's read. Let's jump in here. Matthew 8. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. I'm sorry, Matthew 4. Verse 18, 19 and 20. This is the New Living Translation. It says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. And Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. He left the nets. They left their living at once. The power of God's words, the power of Jesus' words. And then this is in the Passion Translation, Matthew 4:19. Jesus called out to them and said, "Come and follow me, and I will transform you into people," or into men, "who catch people for God." You know, I was sharing this a few weeks ago. When you have a passion for something, you know, when I was younger, I had a passion to go fishing. I learned all the things you needed to learn. I learned about different types of fish, what types of fish are in what types of environment. I did mostly freshwater fishing, but I would backpack into remote areas just to go after certain native type of fish. I learned how to fly fish, tie flies, all that kind of stuff. I don't do that anymore. But the point was that it was a passion. I like to do it, and I learned some things. Well, let me ask, how many in here like to shop? Please, don't tell me that. If you like to shop, right, you're looking before you go on vacation, what stores are in that area that I'm going that I can go shopping to? Because you like to shop. That's my point. I'm just making a point that whatever you like to do, you're looking to fulfill that desire. Isn't that true? So some people like to play golf. It's like Reverend Kevin. I'm going to go pick them up tomorrow. He's got his golf clubs because he likes to play golf. Where's the nearest driving range? When you see people, what do you think? You have a passion to reach people because God said, "Come follow me and I'll show you how." He will start showing you and put a hunger and a desire in you to reach people. And so we need to stir that up in us and say, "Lord, use me today. Speak through me today. Work through me today to reach someone today." And he'll create those opportunities. He's the Lord of the harvest. This is the Passion Translation, Matthew 24:14. Matthew 24:14. We're going to get to our message in a minute. Matthew, I'm just reviewing a little bit. Matthew 24:14. "Yet through it all, this joyous assurance," I'm reading Matthew 24:14 in the Passion Translation. If you don't have that, they'll put that up on the screen. "Yet through it all, this joyous assurance of the realm of heaven's kingdom will be proclaimed all over the world, providing every nation with" what? "A demonstration of the reality of God." Through who? You. He's wanting to demonstrate the reality of God through you. This is where we're going fishing. So let me jump down here a little bit where we are today on the power of God. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 12. And verse 7, and we're talking about the motto of this church, and this last point in the motto where the power of God is manifested, meaning corporately and individually. And Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 11. And this is in the King James of translation. It says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. And the dragon fought and his angels. and what? Prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which does what? Deceiveth, that's all he's got, deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is what? Cast down. Which accused them before our God day and night. Now, this is the part I like. And they did what? And they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. How did they overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So I wanted to focus on that a little bit here today regarding the power of God. Jesus, and I'm going to use a couple of examples here. I'll just share it. When Brother Hagin was alive, and all throughout his ministry, he talked about how Jesus said, come up hither, and he was caught up to the throne of God. Brother Hagin was. And he said, Jesus said to him, I've given you a special anointing to heal the sick. And he said he took the finger of his right hand and put it in the palm of each one of his hands. And he said his hands began to burn. And Jesus said this to him, it won't work unless you tell the people the word of his testimony. So the power of God, the healing power of God, would work if he spoke that word that Jesus said to him, the word of his testimony. I hope these are going to connect some dots for you today. Because we're going to talk a little bit, just share a little bit. We're talking about where the power of God is manifested. How does one activate the power of God? How do you activate that? Huh. Yeah. So let's take another example from the scripture here. Let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. This is Jesus now. Jesus activated the power of God in his life by his what? His testimony. Look at Luke 4, verse 18. We're going to start reading here. This is in the King James. What did Jesus say? This is red letter now. Jesus begins to speak. He takes the books that were handed to them. He looked where it was talking about him. He found out in the scripture, and he said what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon who? Me. He said me. Because he hath what? Anointed me. Jesus is now testifying. He's saying, he hath anointed me, his Father hath anointed me to what? Preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to do what? Set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them were that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So Jesus, God, manifested in the flesh, in Christ, operated with an anointing, it says in Acts 10:38, or Philippians, he set aside his divine privileges and operated as a man. Anointed by God, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. If he was operating in his divinity, his God divinity place, why would he need to be anointed? He set aside that anointing. He set aside the divine privilege and needed to be anointed of God, right? And now he's testifying. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. He's testifying of what God did in him. What did God do in you? Are you testifying to what God did in you? Because that's how you activate him in you. So let's look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. Of course, we know this in the King James. It says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Who has an unction? You who are born again. You are sealed with the Holy Ghost. You have the greater one living in you. You are anointed. Now, in the Passion Translation, 1 John 2:20, it says, but the Holy One has anointed you. Say, I'm anointed. The Holy One has anointed you, and you know all the truth. So God's testimony of you is your testimony. And my testimony is what he said about me in the Word. That's your testimony. Just like Jesus went into the temple and began to testify of what his Father said about him. And we can see that that was activated in his life. Faith is going to activate faith-filled words. This is something Brother Hagin said years ago when he was in ministry. He said that, let me misquote this, but he said, believing and speaking opens the door to the supernatural. Believing and speaking opens the door to the supernatural. So when we believe and speak, we give God license to move. We're giving him the right to activate some things in our life, to activate the power of God, to activate whatever it is that you're believing and speaking. But in this case, we're talking about the power of God. So let's continue. I hope this is helping a little bit, because it should stir your hearts a little. So our testimony speaks of him and what he did in our lives. That's our testimony. Yeah. He redeemed me. Yeah. In him I have redemption through his blood. In him the Holy Spirit lives in me, and his anointing resides in me. So this is the Amplified, and I like different translations. It's saying the same thing, just in a different way. This is the Amplified Classic, Revelation 12:11. And they'll put that up on the screen. It says, and they overcame, conquered him by means of the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance, by the utterance of their testimony. Whoo! uttering your testimony, and the blood of the Lamb overcomes. You got to speak it. You got to say who you are in Christ. The utterance. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, looking at the first three verses here. This is Paul writing to the church of Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Actually, instead of putting it up in the King James, let's put this up in the Weymouth translation. I'll give him a second to put that up. I think this says this a little better. Just 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, 2 and 3. It says, "And as for myself, brethren, when I came to you, it was not with surpassing power of eloquence or earthly wisdom that I came, announcing to you that which God had commanded me to bear witness to." So let's continue in verse 2. And just put that up. It says, "For I determined to be utterly ignorant when among you of everything except Jesus Christ and of him," put up verse 3, "as having been crucified." And then it goes on, and "so far as I myself was concerned, I came to you in conscious feebleness and fear and deep anxiety." This is Paul talking. So in the King James, he says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And again, he was declaring the testimony of God. So point is, he was activating. He came in feebleness, but he activated something through the testimony of God. Now I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17 through 20 in the Passion Translation. And sometimes we talk about this prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. But I want to look at this particular, think this will help here. It says, "I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation, to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us, his holy ones." Now listen to verse 19. "I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you." How? Through faith. Through faith. Through faith. Through faith. How do you activate something? You're going to speak that which he says about you in faith. And it will release that immeasurable power in you to minister to people. Yes, in corporate settings, there are times God will manifest himself. But he wants to use the church, every member, to believe in faith and activate that immeasurable power that's in you, the greater one, to go into this world and demonstrate him.
Oh boy. Yeah.
This is, listen to this. This is the Passion Translation. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, 2 and 3. It says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your life is hidden away in God in Christ. Now this kind of, for me, sums it up a little bit here. Ephesians 3 and 16 and 17 in the Passion Translation. I hope this is connecting some dots where the power of God in you is released. It's released through faith. It's released through your testimony. Faith-filled words. So this is the Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. This is the prayer Paul's praying for the church at Ephesus. He said, and I pray that he would unveil within you, the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Now listen to verse 17. Then, by constantly using your faith, say my faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. Whew. Whew. Using your faith. And it says, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. See how the love of God and the power of God are tied together. So God is saying he wants to use us, and we're activating this power within us through the words of our mouth. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it will eat the fruit thereof. So I tell you, this has stirred in me to pursue with all vigor that every day, every moment of the day, thank you, Lord, for working through me. Thank you for the power of God working in me today. Thank you for your supernatural power working in me. Start making that your profession. That the love of God is working in me today. The word of God is working in me today. The spirit of God is directing me today. The power of God is being released in me today. You know, I was reading this scripture a week or so ago, and when the power of God is released in you, is there any room for stuff? No. No. When the power of God is released in you, deep within you, where does deliverance begin? Where does healing begin? Inside. And it affects the outside. So when we overcome, we're overcoming everything in this earth realm. We're overcoming through the blood and through the word of our testimony. But let me read this. This is Colossians, and they can put this up in the Passion Translation, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. This blessed me, I must say. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5 in the Passion. They'll put this up. It says, "Live as one who has died to every form of sexual sin and impurity. Live as one who died to diseases." Ooh, hoo, 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 hoo. Live as one who has died to diseases. What's your testimony? You'll activate the power of God. It'll drive out sickness and disease out of your body. When you speak it, when you talk it, he can't stay in my body. He can't oppress me. The power of God is in me. I live as one who's died. What did Pastor Clinton always used to say? A dead man can't be bothered with stuff. If you're dead, even in the natural, a dead man isn't affected by something. So in other words, when something tries to touch your body, you say, I'm dead to sickness. I'm dead to sickness. I live as one who's died to diseases. Huh. Yeah. So God is wanting to use us in a greater way, a greater measure to bring the church with what? The love of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the power of God. And how do we activate the power of God? By faith through our continual professing of who we are. I'm anointed. The anointing resides within me. You know, this week, there were some examples used. And of course, the Durants were at the meetings and the Hockadays, but they were talking about how when they sang and they were with the crusade team with the Hagans, that when Brother Hagin was alive, if he got tired ministering to people, he would call either one of them or both and say, "Jim, Annie, come over here." And he would lay his hands upon their hands and he'd transfer that anointing and he'd say, "Okay, go finish." And he would go sit down. And they both said that happened many, 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 many times. Through association, that anointing would be upon them. But this is what they shared. And it was used as an example. They said, when you talk about the power of God, when you talk about the anointing, Annie was in the meeting. Kevin said, "What's going on with you right now?" Just this last week, she said, "My hands are burning." Because you're activating the power of God in you by talking about Him and who you are. You're activating that. You're stirring it up. I hope this it's gonna come back and feed on this because it's stirring in me. We're close to the end, and God is wanting to, He's giving us some keys on how to walk in the power of God in these last days. Yes, there are offices in the church. But he didn't say only the offices go out into all the world. He didn't say that. He said, "You go out. You go. You go. Preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick. Cast out devils." Glory to God. Amen. So I hope this stirs a little bit in you. Yeah. Let me read this one more time as we close here. Ephesians 3:16. Passion Translation. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. Whew. Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Well, you know, I've been given some instructions today, and I've been meditating on this a little bit. And this always, for me, I would just say it this way, because I'm talking about this, my hands are burning. And because the more you talk about the anointing, the more it manifests. And so I would just say this, that, you know, sometimes there's a word of knowledge, sometimes there's manifestations of things, but the Holy Ghost had given me some instructions. He said, I want you to lay hands on everybody here today and impart the anointing that rests upon your life so that they go forward. And that which rests upon you rests upon them. And so we're going to do it real quick. This isn't calling out things, but I'm saying, and not coming up here for healing, and if you need that, that's fine. But he said, lay your hands upon them, because I can tell you this, we don't talk about it much, but Pastor Greg and I both have been afforded so many situations from Pastor Hagen, who's at Rhema, laid hands upon us and prophesied over us at a ordination service and called us out after we went down and sat down. Said, Ed and Greg, come back here. And began to prophesy over us and spoke some things. And so we've been afforded things that I believe that just as, you know, we lived here, and there's things that God has not yet fulfilled, and we're close to the end, and God is wanting everybody to get busy. Be plugged in, get busy in the work in the kingdom of God, in whatever capacity. You could be a housewife, you could be somebody, a professional, a worker, whatever that is, be plugged in, be led, operate in the love of God, operate in the word of God, be hungry for the things of God. He's coming soon. Oh, it should be such an exciting time for the church to say, oh, there's the finish line, we're almost there, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's get busy. It's not a time to sleep. It's not a time to be distracted with life. Because the things of life can be taken away in an instant. And only his things will last. I know Brother Joe Morris, he shared this. And he was sharing, I mean, he had us, he just had us on the end of a seat. He graduated Rhema in 81, the year after the Utterbox did. So he's in age. He's probably late 60s, early 70s. And so he shared this. He said, and he was sharing to just, you know, the churches and the pastors. He said, we're so close to the end. He said, there's going to be a great influx into the church, into the church. And he said, you're going to be open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They're going to flood into the church. Are you ready? Are you sleeping? That's what he's saying. Are you sleeping? Wake up. We're almost at the end. Be ready. Oh, I'm telling you, it's such an exciting time. We have the greater one. We have the power of God. We've got the answers for the world, and the devil's defeated. And when the church comes together, just like we did on Friday night, we prayed. Heaven heard a voice, a sound. Whew. I'm telling you, it's exciting. We're right on the brink of it. And the prophetic word that Brother Copeland gave to Pastor Sarah in 2003, he said, you and Pastor, he's saying, referring to Pastor Clinton and her, he said, you and Pastor have just completed the foundation.
Yes.
He said, after 20 plus years, you've just completed the foundation.
Yes.
And this is what he said. Some foundations take longer to build because of what they're going to have to support. So all that we experienced prior was just the start. Was just the building with a foundation. We're about to build the first floor, second floor, third floor, fourth floor, whatever, wherever God takes that. And it's going to take everybody plugged in, busy, 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 busy. Whether it's here in this church or whether it's outside these walls, we all mean to be busy. Empowered with God so that he can put on a grand show through us. Walk in places, you know, I was over at a health food store recently, maybe a month or 2 months ago, and just getting some supplements, and one of the guys there, you know, you go in and they know you. He said, what is going on? I didn't even say anything to him. I just walked in. He goes, hey, how you doing? What is going on? And I said, well, stuff's going on. So I went and got my stuff, and I walked by him back, and I said, I'll tell you what's going on. Because I don't know where he is. I don't know what kind of faith he is, whatever. I mean, they're from Nepal, so they could be Hindu, Muslim. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Jesus loves them. And this is what I said to him. I said, I'll tell you what's happening. I said, the further people get away from God, the further they go into darkness and stuff. And this is what you're seeing in society. They're moving away from God. I just a simple thing. And he goes, yeah, that's true. So you just do share something simple with people. God loves them. If you're Spanish, you see something, you say, Jesus, viene pronto. Means Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. And people need to know. I believe that before his return, we're going to be hearing more about heaven. We're going to be talking about heaven, what's going on in heaven, because I believe that we're going to see more things that reveal heaven to us. People are going to be taken to heaven and back, tell us what's going on. It's not going to be our first time when we get there and go, oh, wow. No, I believe God's going to reveal more and more of where we're going. But you've got to fill your thoughts with heavenly things, not with things on this earth. Whew. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everybody ready? Ooh, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Whew. Chase the devil out of your neighborhoods. Chase him out of your home. Chase him out of this state. All the goofy stuff that's going on. Just take authority over it. You know, the Lord spoke to Brother Hagin when he was alive, and he said this. He said the Holocaust and what happened was the church's fault because they didn't take authority over it. And the devil destroyed a people. Because you have authority. And when the church comes together, the devil, he's not going to have a... What do he do? What does it say? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So when you see stuff going on in your neighborhood, in your state, in your area, why you tolerate it? Say, no, devil, you're not coming in this neighborhood. I take authority over you and I bind you and command you to leave in the name of Jesus. Amen.